Today on Wings, India produces coffee, not just tea. Smita Ramanathan and Manju Venkat cover what women are doing in a very special place for that industry.
In many parts, it's hilly, so you cannot mechanize the operations. So then you need little women moving around between bushes doing these things.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
This song in the Kodava language is in the voice of Gangamma from Makkandur village in Kodagu district of Karnataka in India. It is a prayer to the river Kaveri seeking protection. The hilly Kodagu or Coorg district in southern Karnataka is known for its distinct culture. It is home to the Kodava people who speak the Kodava language. It is the birthplace of the river Kaveri, a major river of India. It is also the land of coffee and spices. On this show, we talk to a cross-section of women in the coffee and spice plantations, owners, managers, and workers. Salila Patkar grew up in Madikeri, the district headquarters. An engineer by training, she worked in the rural development sector in Bangalore before returning to Madikeri to work on her farm. She grows coffee, pepper, and cardamom on a 4-acre farm belonging to her parents.
My grandmother was the last farmer in our family, in our immediate family, and a whole generation skipped farming. And so somehow when I spent about a month with her looking after her, she was not well. She grew coconuts, paddy, and she had some forest. I suddenly felt I wanted to be a farmer. And we didn't have our own land at that time. My parents didn't have land of their own. But eventually in 97, someone offered this piece of land. And my parents bought it. There was no coffee on it. There was just paddy and cardamom and some fruit trees. So they were the ones who developed coffee, but not directly. They always had someone else doing the farming, a manager or a consultant. Eventually, I got tired of Bangalore after 15 years of living there, and I moved back home in 2009. So I started to slowly build up my understanding of what farming in this area would be, in Kodagu would be. And especially because this is an organic farm, I wanted to know how to grow coffee in an organic way much better.
Salila considers herself a part-time farmer, as she is engaged in other activities such as research, volunteering, and other project work with civil society. Her personal interest in coffee led her to an exploratory research on women in the plantation sector. She found that more and more women in Kodagu are beginning to manage and maintain coffee plantations as opposed to being only workers in the earlier days. Her reasons for it?
There could be many reasons, but one of them is that any farming, not just coffee farming, any kind of farming doesn't really work out financially, which means that men think their time is better used possibly in another livelihood opportunity where they get more money. And if you're a landholder, you want to look after your land, and that leaves the women looking after the land. And this is not only in India, but even elsewhere, because I sort of compiled a set of studies, and one of them was of the feminization of farms in China. So this is something we might have to wake up to, because it means something for the agriculture sector, the way we manage land, the way we grow food. It has many implications.
It was the British who began commercial coffee plantations in India in the 18th century. The hills and forests of Kodagu in the Western Ghats provided ideal terrain for coffee plantation. Government of India established the Coffee Board of India to promote coffee production in India. As per its estimates, Kodagu district alone accounts for 37% of India's coffee production. A reported 250,000 workers on average are employed daily on coffee plantations. A majority of the workforce is women. Salila talked about the growing trend of feminization of farming. As far as we know, women have been doing agriculture ever since agriculture has been around. So why this talk about feminization now?
Women have always been food farmers in almost every culture. The men had more, probably the more commercial crops, the cash crops. And the interesting, and women have always been workers on cash crop farms. But Kodagu's coffee farms being, you know, small and family held, I think it is a cash cropping which has come to women, which is why we talk about feminization of coffee. If they were just growing food, I don't think people would have spoken of it in a special sense. So I think that is the crux. Suddenly, women are managing a cash crop, possibly at the cost of any kind of food crops that they once grew. So again, it's a complex issue.
Salila goes on to talk about the predominantly female labor force in coffee estates, which would be up to 70% in most estates, big or small.
Picking is mostly done by women. Men say they're faster. Weeding is mostly, if it is hand weeding, then it is done by women. Some of them are using sprayers. They've increasingly started to use weed killers, weedicides, herbicides. So then it might be men using the herbicides, but also women do that. So the regular manual operations, because, you know, Kodagu is, in many parts, it's hilly. So you cannot mechanize the operations. So then you need little women moving around between bushes doing these things. And then the men come in when there is maybe more physically dangerous work, like climbing a big tree and lopping. Because we have very tall trees. We have 30, 40, 50 feet tall trees. That's the other thing about coffee farming in India, that the coffee bushes are an understory crop. They are part of a semi-forested system. There are big trees and then there are coffee bushes. So that also prevents mechanization like it has been done in many other parts of the world. So women's labor is very crucial. It can't be done without women.
Shantamma is a laborer working on Salila's farm. She and her husband have been working on this farm for the past 4 years.
ನಾವು ಸಾಧಾರಣ ಮೊದಲೇ ಮದುವೆಗೆ ಮೊದಲೂ ತೋಟ ಕೆಲಸನೇ ಮಾಡ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದೀವಿ ಮೇಡಮ್. ನಾವು ಗಂಡ ಹೆಂಡತಿ ಇಬ್ರು ಸಹ ತೋಟ ಕೆಲಸ ಮಾಡಿನೇ ಮಕ್ಕಳ ಸಾಕೋದು.
ಶಾಂತಮ್ಮ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬೀನ್ ಅ ಲೇಬರರ್ ಆನ್ ಕಾಫಿ ಪ್ಲಾಂಟೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಹರ್ ಮ್ಯಾರೇಜ್. ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ವರ್ಕ್ಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಮೋರ್ ದನ್ 30 ಇಯರ್ಸ್. ಶಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಹರ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ಆರ್ ಬೋತ್ ವರ್ಕರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇ ಬ್ರಾಟ್ ಅಪ್ ದೇರ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇನ್ಕಮ್. ಹರ್ ಟೂ ಡಾಟರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಮ್ಯಾರಿಡ್. ಶಿ ಲಿವ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಹರ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹರ್ ಟೂ ಸನ್ಸ್. Who work as cooks.
ಈಗ ಮಳೆ ಜೂನ್ ಮಳೆ ಶುರು ಆದ ತಕ್ಷಣ ಕಚ್ಚಡ ಶುರು ಮಾಡ್ತೀವಿ ಮೇಡಮ್. ಕಚ್ಚಡ ಆದ ತಕ್ಷಣ ಜೋರು ಮಳೆ ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ಕಡಿಮೆ ಆದ್ಮೇಲೆ
As soon as the rains begin, they start weeding operations. Then they prune the coffee plants. This being an organic farm, they don't apply any fertilizers, nor any pesticides or herbicides. Otherwise, in September, it is time to apply fertilizers. On this farm, they apply farmyard manure. Women laborers in the coffee farm generally have work throughout the year, except for a couple of months during the monsoon season. Earlier, she used to work in paddy fields too, but there are hardly any paddy fields now.
Salila talks about how the shift in women's priorities has resulted in a loss of food crops.
If you look at the landscape of Kodagu, you have valleys which are paddy fields. Traditionally, people grew rice and maybe vegetables in that land. Then you have the slightly, the hills, you know, so you have hills and you have valleys. So on the hills, we would have been a traditional spice growing region of the country for millennia, really. So pepper and cardamom would have been the traditional crops and maybe other herbs, we don't know. But now it is coffee, trees with pepper. Cardamom has died out in many places. So it is basically pepper and coffee. Not much food anymore. We are famous for our mandarin oranges. Those are by and large gone. So you find an odd fruit tree here and there. That's for the family's consumption. They might give it to friends. They might sell a small number. But maybe avocados will come in the future. A lot of people are planting avocados. We've always had avocados in Kodagu for many, many decades. But now the market is built up. So that's coming up. But there are very interesting vegetables which only grow in Coot, because it's a different kind of environment. There are lots of beans. Those are not being grown as much in the paddy fields because there is no labor. And like if the women of the family shift their focus to coffee, then it's at the same time that you have to grow vegetables. Then it's not possible to look at these two different crops at the same time. Many grow enough for their own families, but not enough to sell. So food farming is an issue, because even paddies are being abandoned. It doesn't work out with the high labor cost to work on paddy. Mechanization is a bit slow because access to many of these paddy fields may be difficult in the hilly terrain. So the kinds of big machines that are normally promoted, they really can't work in these small paddies. So these are trends.
Along with coffee, pepper and cardamom are the mainstay of many farmers in the district. More than 90% are small farmers, that is, with holdings below 10 hectares. Typically, men are the owners of the land, and hence, management of the farm was also a man's job. However, when the men move on to other occupations, their wives step in to look after the farm. 74-year-old Lilavati manages a 40-acre farm. She used to help her husband with operations before taking over entirely after her husband entered politics and became an elected representative of the Karnataka State Assembly.
1975
From 1975 onwards, after her children were slightly older, Lilavati started accompanying her husband to the farm occasionally. He was a lawyer and would visit the estate in the afternoons. She started visiting the plantation with him and gradually learned the operations. In early 80s, her husband entered politics and he did not have time to manage the farm. He would visit only on Sundays. Then the entire responsibility of managing the estate fell on her shoulders. Since she was already familiar with the operations by then, she didn't find it too difficult. She also had a very good manager to help her. She says that she is confident of managing the farm on her own with the help of her manager. The only difficulty she finds is in dealing with the officials when there is a paperwork relating to the farm. That she leaves to her daughter, Mrinalini, who tells us how she started working with her mother. Mrinalini is an engineer by training and has worked in different cities before returning to Madikeri.
I started 2004 or 5 after my dad passed away. That's when I started assisting my mom. I used to go with my dad whenever we have holidays, like on Sundays or holidays. We'd go stay in my uncle's house there in the estate and would have fun there. I mean, it was all fun time there. So once my dad passed away, that is when 2005, then I started assisting my mom. And ever since, yes, I've been here doing whatever needs to be done, whether it's office work, I mean, anything connected to office or estate work, the field work also.
On Wings, you're listening to contributing producers Manju Venkat and Smita Ramanathan, talking with women coffee farmers in Karnataka State, southern India.
67-year-old Kaveramma from Madikeri is a small grower with 3 acres of land registered in hers and her son's name.
ಹುಕ್ಕುವಾಗಲೇ ತೋಟದ ಕೆಲಸವನ್ನು ಮಾಡ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದೀವಿ. ಕಾಫಿ ಮತ್ತು ಏಲಕ್ಕಿ ಅದರಲ್ಲೆಲ್ಲ ನಮಗೆ ಮೊದಲೇ ತಂದಿದ್ದು ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಟಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ನಾವು ಮಾಡ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದೀವಿ. ಕಾಫಿದು
ಕಾವೇರಮ್ಮ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬೀನ್ ವರ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ಕಾಫಿ ಪ್ಲಾಂಟೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಸಿನ್ಸ್ ಬರ್ತ್. ಶಿ ಗ್ರೂ ಅಪ್ ಆನ್ ಹರ್ ಪೇರೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನೋಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ರೇಸಿಂಗ್ ಕಾಫಿ, ಕಾರ್ಡಮಮ್, ಪೆಪ್ಪರ್, ವೆಜಿಟೇಬಲ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪ್ಯಾಡಿ. ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಹರ್ ಮ್ಯಾರೇಜ್ ಶಿ ಮೂವ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಹರ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ಸ್ ವಿಲೇಜ್. Her husband was a policeman. He had a son from his first marriage. She had 2 children of her own. Her husband died while the children were still young, and she struggled to raise the children all alone. There was conflict with her stepson and husband's family over property rights. Eventually, she managed to get her share, which is the 3 acres that is registered in hers and her son's name. She grows coffee on her land.
ಎಲ್ಲ ಕೆಲಸ ಮಾಡಬಹುದು, ಅಗಿಬಹುದು, ಮತ್ತೆ ಕಚ್ಚಡ ಕೀಳಬಹುದು, ಕಚ್ಚಡ ಎರ್ತೆ ಮಾಡಬಹುದು, ಚಿಗುರು ತೆಗಿ.
ಕಾವೇರಮ್ಮ ನೋಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಬಿಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಪರೇಷನ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್. She engages labor, but also does a fair bit of labor herself, including weeding, applying fertilizers, and in her younger days, even pruning trees. Plantations have tall trees to provide the shade that coffee plants need. The trees also support pepper vines. These trees need to be pruned seasonally, a job typically done by men who climb the tall trees and lop the branches. Men also climb the trees to harvest pepper from the vines. However, Kaverama used to climb the trees herself when she was young. She educated her son and daughter well, and they are a wildlife biologist and teacher, respectively. She says that her son, who lives in Bangalore, comes home on the weekends and assists her in the farm operations. Labor shortage is an issue that is plaguing much of the agricultural sector in India. It is no different in the coffee plantations. There is a demographic shift too in the labor force. The older generation of skilled coffee estate workers have children who have graduated and migrated to cities for work. They will no longer work as laborers on estates. Many laborers in the coffee plantations now are workers from northeastern India who do not have the traditional knowledge or experience of working on coffee plantations.
The main thing is market. The labor problem is what we have.
Salila Patkar.
Because see, with coffee, it's like certain things have to be done in a certain period of time. You know, the work has to go on accordingly. Earlier, like, you know, we used to have our own laborers, and now that they've gone out there, you know, they also try to take advantage. So certain things like pruning, not everybody who comes from outside, the laborers who come from, they cannot do it. That is something that is a very skilled laborer who is from the coffee estate only can do it. So that's where, you know, they try to see who gives best, get best prices, and they try to go around. They don't finish in time. They try to go to all the estates which are nearby and work for 2 days, you know. 2 days in every estate, that way they won't be able to complete the job in the given time. So those are some of the things that we're having. And now that even the coffee prices are going down, this year the labor charges will not go down.
Lack of price regulation is proving to be a big problem for planters. Mrinalini and her mother also rue the lack of regulation of prices. Earlier, the coffee board acted as regulatory body. It was selling coffee on behalf of the grower. Now, the market has been liberalized and anyone is free to sell coffee, and the growers are at the mercy of agents who have taken over sales of coffee. Similar is the case with spices.
Price regulate illade irade namge problem agirudu. Iga pepper nodi 700.
Leelavati says that pepper was rupees 700 or $12 a kilo 2 to 3 years ago. Now it's only rupees 300 a kilo. There are growers who have stocked tons of pepper in the hope that price will grow up. The labor cost of harvesting pepper is high because the workers have to climb ladders to get to the higher sections of the vines. They have to stand on the ladder for hours to pluck the pepper. It's very strenuous. It hurts their legs. So though they are paid a day's wage, they cannot put in a full day's work.
The coffee board, which is meant to protect the interests of both planters and workers, has not done much on either front. Workers such as Shantamma are glad that there is some regulation on working hours and improvement in conditions of workers. However, they are not provided benefits such as health and accident insurance, old age pension, maternity benefits, leave allowance, and such like.
Government interventions at promoting Indian coffee have been inadequate, says Salila. India produces good quality of coffee, but it is only 1% of the world's production. And of that production, a large part is exported.
India missed the bus in terms of projecting its coffee and its coffee quality. Everyone knows Colombian coffee, everyone knows Ethiopian coffee. Ethiopian coffee is, of course, the original coffee, so let's not complain. But everyone knows Colombian coffee and Brazilian coffee, which is not really high quality. But everyone knows about Brazilian coffee. Vietnam has ramped up its production. We had at least 100 years where we could have projected our coffee and we could have built a market internally for coffee. That wasn't done because it was so easy to just sell it as a commodity and make money. It made more money than many other crops at one time. But if you look at coffee markets now, there is, they say, overproduction. The growers get very little. So if you buy coffee abroad in any country outside of India, then you know from a cup of coffee, a grower gets just a few cents If it's a dollar a cup, then just a few cents of that comes to this person who looks after a piece of land the whole year and has to make that person's living from that one harvest in a year. The money is really for the upper end, higher end cafes, the roasters and people who sell not just any coffee, there are expensive coffees being made. They are the ones making money. So the effort and everything is in a third world country. The money is in a first world country where there are barriers for you to sell processed coffee. So we are forced to sell commodities. And as long as we're selling commodities, it's unlikely that we will have any leverage in the market.
Lack of knowledge of what the ultimate market wants prevents the Indian authorities and growers from lobbying for a better return on our crop.
Which is why they say coffee farming is a big land grab on the part of richer countries. Our lands are locked up, growing a crop that possibly isn't doing us very much. But someone is reaping big benefits out of it. It's the second most valuable traded commodity from a third world country other than petroleum. So it's big business, but it's kind of killing.
There is the added challenge of the newer generation not wanting to work in farming. Mrinalini has come back to the farm after having lived and worked in the city. She wonders if the next generation will do that. She doesn't see them being connected to the land the way her generation is.
Well, it's more of an emotional attachment for us, I think, here. For us, it has come down 3 or 4 generations now. So that is how it is. Though people go out to work, at the end of it, they won't come back. Now, the thing is, this generation, okay. The next generation who have not... Now, earlier, at least we grew up here and then they went out.
Yeah, yeah.
The younger, the ones who are growing up now, they don't even come back for holidays because of all these summer camps and all that, they don't even come back for holidays these days. So most of the people from our generation, they don't put that much of pressure on the kids these days to come back. Our generation, we're asked to come back, you know, okay, you go out, work for about 20 years, 30 years, come back. Because we have something like an estate here to take care of. But our generation, now that we are coming out with so much of problems, with the labor problems and the way things are happening, as you know, the prices and things like that, it is like we are not even able to break even at times.
There is the added dimension of natural disasters affecting the coffee belt. In August 2018, Kodagu experienced very heavy rains followed by landslides in 40 villages in the district. Salila says that this kind of disaster is unprecedented and not in living memory. Whether it can be attributed to climate change or not is not something that is being spoken about or understood. Many farmers lost large parts of land with standing crop. People were left with only 10 to 25% of their crops, and yet after the rain subsided and people got over their initial shock and distress, many went back to planting seedlings to raise coffee nurseries. They lacked the information on better alternatives in terms of short-term crops. If such events recur, lives and livelihoods of people in the coffee belt are going to become even more vulnerable.
In spite of all these challenges, Salila feels that coffee is still the ideal crop for the Western Ghats. It allows the trees to be retained with possibility for mixed cropping around a tree ecosystem. Besides, much of the coffee in this area is rain-fed. She says that India needs to project its coffee in a special manner.
With just 1% of the world's crop, we need to target a specialized coffee market. India should target a specialized coffee market. And most of the specialized coffee is artisanal coffee, where every bean has been handled by a real person and not by machines alone. Where there's high quality, where there's a graded product, where there's a high quality product. And that can only be done if we keep it at a non-mechanized, in a non-mechanized form. But that is where the pressure point is. To keep it would mean, unfortunately, men won't work on it because it is not yet lucrative and the women would may have to work on it. And if women have to work on it, they do not have the support structures to help them do it with less drudgery. To be very honest, it's backbreaking work. You're always bent. When you work on coffee farms, you're literally bent. And it's a lot of loading things on your head and moving materials by head loading. It's tough work. And there are ants and there are snakes and, you know, this is the kind of environment. And it's raining all the time, so you're in the rain and working. So if that has to work out, then much more needs to be done by a lot of people.
We asked her, what are some of these things?
First, I think we need to recognize that it's a women's crop. It's not a food crop, but it's a women's crop. More women are involved in coffee than men. So women should have access to membership of coffee organizations, even though that land is not in their name. Otherwise, they say the land owner becomes the member. Probably we as women should take the lead and organize ourselves.
She says that women's group also need to look into inclusion aspects. Currently, the associations that are formed have membership from the elite society. Another critical aspect that needs to be looked into is tooling.
There are very few tools available for women. There are some innovations abroad, but very few again, because then I realized it must be a woman's crop all over the world, so they're not working on tooling at all. Unless it's a very large mechanized tool, computerized, that which is meant for very large growers. There's very little for small little things. Which nowadays, at least, people are using, the women are using gum boots. We need better gloves. I don't get good gloves. If I want a good leather glove, for instance, where, you know, when they harvest coffee, the gloves are stitched very badly, so they don't fit into a woman's hand. They're very large. So you don't have the dexterity of, harvesting coffee. So at the end of a coffee harvest, your hands are quite damaged. And something like a scythe, you know, there's a large, you know, you don't have to be doubled up. It's like a sickle you would find in the Grim Reaper, to be honest. It's a Western tool, but you stand up and use it. And it's quite effective, but it's more expensive. So can we use something like that? Can we, you know, work around those things.
We have to produce those tools.
We can, but if we don't put our heads into it, then no one's looking at ergonomics. Mm. Because they expect women to be doubled up and working all the time. If you find more and more women saying we won't do it, then they'll start to use deadly chemicals. You know, the reason women, if you remove women out of the weeding, then the herbicides come into the picture.
So, like Salila said, much more needs to be done by a lot of people if coffee is to be preserved and protected as an artisanal crop, a woman's crop. The Kodava people are proud upholders of their language and culture. Women especially have always been preservers of culture and tradition. It is just as well that coffee is a main crop of the region. Let's hope that it finds better exposure, bringing greater returns to the women working in this sector. With Manju Venkat, this is Smita Ramanathan. We thank Venkat Ayalur and Varun Venkat for editorial support.
To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or download from our website, wingsradio.org. Thank you to your local community radio stations, to Suzette Cullen and to Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the new book, The Maternal Roots of the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.